used to say, I'd rather be here than the finest hospital in town. So we just lift up this offering, Lord, that we've given out of obedience and exciting, pleasurable joy. To be a part, a small part, may it be, possibly, to advance the kingdom of God through Challenge Ministries, Lord. As an elder, and I've been with this ministry a long time, I know how the money is spent and every penny is accounted for and utilized, not for building big buildings, or lining the pockets of any particular person, but it's made to spread the good news of the gospel both here and around the world. Amen. And to take care of the expenses of running a ministry such as this. So we're thankful to be a part of that, Lord. And we ask that you advance the kingdom of God accordingly as we do give. Open inroads for the gospel to go even further and reach more and more people. And the strong teaching from this pulpit, Father, that if people will listen to it, they can find the freedom they want and they need. Because we all need to be freer than we are. So we bless this offering to increase the work of the Holy Spirit through this land, locally, and around the world. Father, we bless each and every prayer request in the prayer request box. Father, only you know the petitions that are laid in there. But that's all that needs to, that's the only person that needs to know what's all in there. Lord, you're omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. None of these prayer requests caught you off guard. And no doubt there are prayer requests of people that are going through tests and trials and they need help. There's others that are raising up other people on behalf of the kingdom of God to try and reach them and help them. There's requests for financial or material support, relief, healing. Father, all those prayer requests, Lord, we're just asking that you will hear those petitions and you will answer them in your perfect timing. We ask in Jesus' name. And Father, just continue. You're welcome here, Holy Spirit. Just continue to move throughout this auditorium, anointing Pastor Paul Wren as he comes to deliver the message, and give us attentive ears, receptive hearts, and understanding minds to glean from the message that you've given this great servant of God for us today. And to that end, we praise you, thank you, and give you all the glory. In your mighty, wonderful Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Pastor Paul, would you come, please?
Well, let me say it is an honor to be back here at Challenge. I count it a privilege to be here. I'm just sorry Pastor Bob is out of town, but he called me. And he said, Gene's preaching last week, I'm preaching this week. He said, I hadn't had 2 weeks off in so long. I can't remember how long I'm out of here. So I guess he's having a relaxing time, and we're glad for that. Now, before I preach, and I'm going to use a very familiar passage of Scripture, but don't let familiarity cause you to miss what God has for you. We're going to be in Psalm 100. But as you turn there, I have a couple of prayer requests. Well, Lord willing, we will go back to the Philippines in January. Last year, our director goofed up, and he shortened our trip a little bit. But we still had over 6,000 professions of faith while we were there. And Lord willing, we're going one more time. Pray that the funds will come in and that we'll be able to get over there. Also, pray for my wife, Barbara. She was going to have one surgery, and her surgeon said, get a CT scan. We'll see what it looks like in there. Well, they found a big old cyst as big as his fist, and his fist, I think, is bigger than mine, on an ovary. And so he said, you got to take care of that first, then have the other surgery. So I goofed up. I was thinking next Sunday was the 23rd. Well, it's the 24th. I'm preaching down in Ponte Verde. Then we have to hightail it toward Nashville because on the 25th, she has surgery about that cyst. So pray for her. And pray for me because we've been married 55 years. And when you've been married that long, you know, you're really, your heart's with somebody. And it's a trying time. Her facing two surgeries, but the first one is the 25th. So pray about that. Now, Psalm 100, if you have the little introduction in your Bible, mine says a psalm of praise. You say, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. Now, some people make a big deal out of Thanksgiving, but if you're a Christian, you ought to be thankful all the time, not just one day, because of what the Lord has done for us. But I think one of the greatest sins among Christians is ingratitude. Here he starts off and he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, a lot of people have kidded about that when they're talking about their singing. But notice the kind of noise we ought to make. It ought to be joyful. And we ought to be glad. We're blessed. God has not given us what we deserve. We're going to say that a little bit further in this passage. But because of God's grace and mercy to us, we ought to be joyful and sing with joy in our heart. But now, notice he said, make a joyful noise. He didn't say, make a train noise. He didn't say, make a beautiful noise. That's for you folks who can't sing. Sing anyhow. Because we're to sing joyfully to the Lord. We got a new music director at our church, an assistant pastor. And I went to him and I said, Brother Mike, don't expect me to be in the choir. You know, the Bible talks about singing and making melody in your heart. In my heart, it's beautiful. The problem is, I tear it up, getting it out. But see, the Lord don't care what your voice sounds like. Amen. He just wants you to express the joy that you have in your heart. So make a joyful noise at the singing time. Don't expect them to do all the singing. Amen. You join in because, notice, we're making a joyful noise. We're to the Lord. Amen. We're worshiping Him. You know, Hebrews 13 talks about we're to offer the sacrifice of praise. That is, it is worship to praise God. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. By the way, this is a little different message that I usually give because I just want to go verse by verse in this psalm. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, a lot of people serve the Lord, but sometimes it is a burden. And it's a chore to serve God. Listen, folks, we have an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we ought to be glad that we have that opportunity to serve God. Be joyful. Gladness that we have an opportunity to serve. You know, when I was a kid, we sang a song. And that song says, "He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice." Why? Because He has made me glad. And that is the attitude we ought to have toward serving the Lord. 1 John 5:3 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome." You see, when you have love in your heart for the Lord, and by the way, the scripture says we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And because He loved us, we ought to be in love with Him. And love motivates us to do things maybe we wouldn't ordinarily do. For instance, I told you Barbara and me have been married 55 years. I can't believe that. It just seems like a little while ago we both stood before a preacher and he said, "Wilt thou?" And I wilted it. But, you know, a few years ago, Barbara fell and she broke where her tibia connects into the elbow. Had to have surgery. Well, our laundry room is downstairs. I told her, "I don't want you going down those stairs with laundry anymore. I will do the laundry." Is that because I enjoy doing laundry? No. I do it because I love her and want to take care of her. So love will motivate you to do things you wouldn't normally do. And it's not a chore when you're in love. And so we serve the Lord. Get busy. Do something for God and let your lives count before Him. And then we have an amazing statement. Come before His presence. Now, in the Old Testament, you could not come into the direct presence of God because under the Levitical system, their idea of God was He was in the holy place in the tabernacle and later in the temple. Well, we know that's not true, as Doc prayed this morning. God is all present. He's everywhere. But ceremonially, a Jew could not come into the direct presence of God. But now we have an invitation. Hebrews 4:16 said, "Let us come boldly or with confidence to the throne of grace." When? In our time of need. And we'll find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. So when you have a need, go to God. When you have a need, you ought to pray more because He is the one that we can go to. Amen. Now, I lost my notes, but that doesn't matter. We come before His presence, into the very presence of God. Let me read a verse in Romans chapter 5. Well, two verses. Most of you are real familiar with verse 1 of chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous verse, that we're justified. That word justified is a legal term, and it means not guilty. Now, folks, we're all guilty. Amen. The Bible says all have sinned, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And even the righteousness we have, according to Isaiah 64, our righteousness is like filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. But we have been justified, declared righteous. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We're justified. We're clean. When God looks at us, He doesn't see our dirty, rotten sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. A theological term, it is imputed. And in other words, it is placed on us, the very righteousness of Christ. But notice what he says in verse 2. By whom, talking about Jesus Christ, also we have what? Access. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Folks, we have access. We can come into God's presence. You know, a lot of people, if they go see the president, oh, I don't know why anybody, but if you went to see the president, you'd have to go through a whole rigmarole detailed and instructions and different people, and then you would get to him. But to get to God has already been opened up to us because of what Jesus Christ did. And so we come directly into the presence of God. And so it says, come into his presence, but what was singing? You see, this chapter, the reason I picked it today, I think the Lord impressed me, but it's talking constantly about praise and rejoicing and singing, and that ought to be the attitude of a child of God, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day ought to be a day that we give thanks. And then why should we have gladness and come with singing? Verse 3 tells us, know ye that the Lord, He is God. You know, there's a lot of false religions around today. And we need to be on guard as the people of God. And one way you recognize the false is to saturate yourself with the truth of the Word of God. I heard a long time ago, and I never forgot it, when they hire a teller at the bank, they don't give a handful of counterfeit money and say, study all this so you'll recognize the counterfeit when it comes to it. No, what they do is they handle the real thing over and over and over. And then when the counterfeit comes through, something's wrong because it's not like the truth. How do you recognize the false? Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Have the truth in your heart. And then you can know the Lord is the real God. Doesn't that remind you of Elijah's day? When Elijah called down the fire from heaven and burned up the sacrifice, the altar, even everything there, the stones were all burned up. And what the people say, the Lord, He is God. And you see, these false prophets, the prophets of Baal, have been trying to call down fire, and nothing happened. Why? Because they're false. They're not real. And we serve the real God. Amen. And that ought to be a joy and a blessing to our hearts. And it is He that has made us. Understand, we're here simply because of the grace of God. Yes. Not only our salvation, but also our very life is in His hands. It is He that has made us. I just started over in my Bible reading. I don't know about you folks, but I like to just read through the Word of God for content's sake. Now, I've got study time where I concentrate on things, but just reading through the Word of God. I started over again this morning with the book of Genesis. Genesis is under attack. You know, Satan's program is to undermine the Word of God. What did he do? He came to Eve. Genesis chapter 3. He said, "Hath God said?" In other words, he's putting doubt in the Word of God. Then he lied. He said, "Well, you will not die if you eat that fruit." God told you in 19. He's attacking the Word of God. And I want to tell you something, folks. That is his system today. Be on guard. There are folks around, and unfortunately, there are even theological schools that are undermining the truths of the Word of God. But understand, Jesus said, John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true." And so don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. You know, I teach Sunday school when I'm home in Tennessee, and we've been going through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick. Now that word quick is an old English term, which means it's alive. It's effective. It's living. And powerful, we get from the word in the Greek language that stands for energy. It's effective. It's got power and energy because it's alive. And it'll divide asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discern what the very thoughts and intents of the heart. We have a powerful Word of God. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't believe the Word of God." It's still powerful. Amen. I'll never forget, I was witnessing to a guy one time, and he said, "I don't believe the Bible." I said, "Well, let me show you something." I showed him a few verses. He bowed his head right there and received Jesus Christ. Because I'm a great theologian? No. Because the Word of God is powerful. And is sharper than a two-edged sword. So have your confidence in the Word of God. Now, we find it says here, the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us. Look at Colossians 1:6. I'm sorry. 16. Colossians, I can't even read my own writing. That's getting bad. But Colossians 1:16, for by him, that is Jesus Christ, were all things created. They're in heaven and are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Listen, God created everything, and that includes you and me. That is, it is God who has made us, not we ourselves. You know, with the humanistic, atheistic philosophy is, I'm my own God. I'm the one in charge. I'll tell you something. Those folks are deceived because we're not God. He is. He that made us, not we ourselves. Because of that, we are his people. We belong to him. Now, that has implications. We belong to him. We ought to serve him. We belong to him. We ought to honor him, not just with our money. And I think giving is a part of honoring him, but our life ought to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we are his people. We belong to him. If you heard the old song, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. And that's truth in that song. We are his. That's why we don't have to worry about the future, because he is in control. Everything's going to turn out the way he planned it to. You say, Paul, you believe that? I sure do, because I read the back of the book. I cheated. You know, some people say, you don't read the back of the book. You read up to that. Well, they said, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign. Everything's going to turn out exactly how God planned it to be. So we are his people. And we're compared to sheep. Remember Psalm 23 says, the Lord is our shepherd. A legend that we're like sheep. They tell me, I'm not a farmer. And I never raised sheep, but I've heard the sheep are pretty dumb. And they have a tendency to wander off and get in trouble. That's why they need a shepherd. And we have one. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. Then he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Our mouth should be filled with praise. You remember the children of Israel when they were delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. Can you imagine? They'd been slaves for hundreds of years. And if an Egyptian felt like it, could put you to death. It came to the point where God said, kill all the boy, Pharaoh said, kill all the boy babies. They were slaves. God delivered them out. They were redeemed. Remember, the lamb was killed, the blood was put over the door, and they were delivered out. But what happened real quick? They got the grumbling. They got the complaining. Oh, we could go back to Egypt where we had some really good food. They forget they were slaves. They were in bondage. And God had delivered them out. And yet they complain when they ought to be rejoicing what God did for them. You know, 1 Thessalonians 1:19 says, in everything, give thanks. Now, my wife is up in the ladies' conference with Judy Russell in St. Simon's Island. But we met with Judy when we got into town. And a few weeks ago, she developed low sodium, passed out, fell, hit her head, busted the back of her head open. She's in the hospital, and she said, I was grumpy. You know, here I am in the hospital with busted head, low sodium rate. And then she said, the Lord brought to her mind, in everything, give thanks. And she said at first, she did it with clenched teeth. Thank you, Lord, you know. But she said the more she thanked God, the more her attitude changed. And that's true. Give thanks. Not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Because we could be in hell. But God has provided a Savior in Jesus Christ. And he forgives the worst sinners. And therefore, we ought to be grateful. Notice it says, for the Lord is good. Now, Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't say all things are good, but all things work together for good. I probably use this illustration here because it illustrates this point. My granny made homemade quilts. She lived during the Depression. They learned to be pretty economical during the Depression. And she'd make her own quilt. And she'd get these old pieces of rags, looked like weren't good for nothing but the trash heap. And she would weave them together and make beautiful, practical quilt that you'd love to have on your bed. Now, that old ragged piece of cloth wasn't any value. But when it was woven together with the others, it made a very practical and functional quilt that we have used on our beds in the past. So all things work together for good. Something may not be pleasant, but God is working in your life to accomplish his will in you. And therefore, trust him. Now notice he says, the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Now, technically, the word mercy means you don't get what you deserve. Aren't you glad? Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in a mess. But because of the grace and mercy of God, our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And notice that mercy is everlasting. It's not just for a day. It's for eternity. And we'll enjoy heaven because of God's mercy to us. And then his truth endureth to all generations. You can depend on the Word of God. I like what Colossians 1:3 says. It says, God, which cannot lie. Now, I may have used this before, but some of you hadn't heard it. When I was in high school, I had a buddy, and he was a Christian. But he exaggerated everything that happened. When he opened his mouth, you didn't know whether to believe him or not, because his exaggeration of everything. But when God says something, mark it down.
Amen.
It's true. And the promises of God are sure and amen. We can trust what God promises. Because he says, whosoever will, let him come. Take of the water of life. That means anybody who wants to be saved can be. And you can mark it down because God said it.
Yes, sir.
And the promise of heaven, we can rest in it. It's a sure hope. Why? Because God told us, if you're saved, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so promises of a God that cannot lie. Trust Him. Depend on Him. Live for Him. Serve Him with all of your heart. But do it with a joyful and a glad heart because of what the Lord has done for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a Savior. Thank you that we have eternal life. And someday heaven will be our home, and we'll have a time to live with you for all eternity. We praise you for that. But now in this life, help us to honor you, glorify you, live for you, serve you with our heart and energy. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to take just a moment. If God's challenged your heart, maybe right there where you just sit, you'd like to call on the Lord and just tell Him. You might confess, I've been grouchy. I've been grumpy. I haven't been thankful. I haven't expressed gratitude. And I praise you and thank you for what you've done for me. You know, another promise of God's Word, if we confess our sin, and ingratitude is a sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you're listening today, you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Put your faith and trust in Him today. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. Appreciate that word. Great word. Encouraging word. We needed it. Thank you, Lord. We want to bless our brother. He does have a Philippine trip coming up. He's trusting the Lord that would provide for that. Here, locally, we want to bless the man. Just give it as the Lord leads on your heart, okay? Would you stand with me? And if you make out a check, make it out to Paul Wren, not to Challenge, to Paul Wren. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for the message that you brought forth. We just give you praise and honor and thanksgiving, Father God, for the life that you've given us and the time that you've given us and this period of space that you've given us while we're traveling through this world. So, Father, I thank you. I bless you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you in your holy name. Amen.